Glacier uniquely focuses on informing and inspiring the next generation of college and university students by looking for innovative ways to recruit high school students. They are always looking for new ways to recruit with the best interest of students in mind, something that has been important to Glacier since day one. Glacier offers the largest high school advertising network in North America. This unique platform allows higher education marketers the opportunity to place massive billboard-style ads directly inside feeder high schools, leverage influential students as brand ambassadors, and layer in a robust digital advertising component. If you are ready to take your high school recruitment to the next level or want to learn more about how Glacier can help you, visit their website at www.weareglacier.org. Welcome back, everybody. This is the EdUp Experience Podcast, where we make education your business. This is Dr. Joe Salustio. I used to have a longer intro where I said something about the brightest and most influential minds in higher ed, but I think that's assumed at this point with 300 plus episodes under our belt. So I said, how do I cut that junk out of there and get to the content as fast as possible? Who wants to sit and listen to a bunch of intros? So here we are. We've slimmed things down. We are lean and mean, and we're interviewing very awesome folks. I have one with me here today, and I'm going to bring her in a second. I do want to let everybody know and remind you of a couple of things. Number one, the EdUp Experience is writing a book. We are writing a book. Yes, we are. So as these episodes come out, we're going to remind you that we're writing a book. We're going to be talking and including insights from, which we have already, but including insights from 100 college and university presidents in this book, and synthesizing themes and all that stuff around it. And then have EdTech and others, provosts and enrollment marketing folks all adding to those themes. It's going to be awesome. Number two, review us on Apple Podcasts. If you get 5 minutes, leave us a rating. We really appreciate it. It helps people find our podcast. Number three, and most importantly, I want to introduce you. I'm going to introduce you to my amazing guest today. I've already apologized to her because she was supposed to come on EdUp like, I don't know how many, 2 or 3 months ago. I don't know what happened. I think my kid was sick at school and I had to pick up my kid from school, one of my two kids, and then it pushed her out like 3 months. But she is here and she did not give me too much flack for that. Her name is MJ Noel Finn and she is here. MJ, how are you?
Hi, Joe. I'm well. Thank you. And thank you for sticking with me too. It's nice to finally get here and have a chance to talk to you.
Well, Senior Vice President for Enrollment Management and Student Success at NYU. You have a pretty important job. And so you're one of the ones, when I look into the future of the episodes that we have scheduled, I'm like, oh, MJ, I can't believe I put her off. What a bummer. And then it's like, and then when can we get you on, MJ? Can I get you rescheduled for tomorrow? And then your team comes on and says, oh no, she can see you in October of 2026. I'm like, okay, I shouldn't have missed her. So that means you're pretty busy.
A little busy. Yeah. That's what happens when you have over 50,000 students that you're trying to serve.
Well, there you go. So tell me. So I look at, like I said, I look at the schedule. I'm like, okay, this is somebody that we're going to kick the can around as enrollment professionals, if you will. What's going on, MJ? How are things at NYU? What's the state of enrollment management been over the last, let's just say 2 years or 18 months, and coronavirus pandemic now? Now we're in the coronavirus pandemic and now we're like in the variant pandemic period. It's a different moment.
Right.
How is an overall enrollment going? Because I'm going to ask about the student success portion a little bit differently. Let's talk enrollment first.
Sure. And you know, it's funny when you know, I hadn't listened. I'll admit, I hadn't listened to a lot of your podcasts until.
Oh, how dare you!
I know. I'm so sorry. But when I started listening to them, I thought, my God, this is so timely that you guys are doing this, or that you're doing it now, Joe, because you're really trying to tap into what's so hard about higher ed, which is. Well, I don't want to say it in a really negative way, but higher ed, because it's so large and, you know, institutionalized, it has a hard time being nimble and, you know, moving. And I think COVID's been horrible and difficult for everyone, but I do think it's an opportunity to really lean into the kinds of guests you bring on, the kinds of partnerships you can have. And, you know, at NYU, so much of what we do is around global and diversity and, you know, opportunities for future, you know, with students and stuff. So I think the past 18 months, you know, you had to lean in really hard to that and really believe in it because it was exhausting. But I think we're coming out on the other side. By the way, I think the science says COVID will never actually be ever gone again.
I know, right?
It's here forever. It's
like at least a 6-year like horizon before it stops doing this innovation that it does.
Yes, exactly. But you know, I think it has helped higher ed move forward. At least at NYU, it has really given us an opportunity to see how we look at technology, how we look at data, how we think about students and their experience. And at a big place like us, you know, across the globe, how we think about and lean into the need to understand each other in a place where you may not be in the same room as each other, right? So, yeah. So, I mean, I think I'm excited. I feel like this is a moment where we've got, you know, we have all the, of course, my team is exhausted, but we're looking at, you know, not, it's an and, right? It's, what did we do before? And what did we learn this year? And how do we then, you know, see how we were able to reach more students, see how we were able to break down some of the barriers that we see in finding places like NYU, and really learn how to listen in different ways. And so, and ultimately for NYU, it's that diversity and that listening and those, our global footprint has allowed us to be incredibly flexible. And, you know, as I was listening to a bunch of the podcasts that you guys have put together, that's a theme. How do you be, how are you and how can we be flexible? Even where, you know, I know you worked, you know, thinking about degrees in a way that meets students where they're at. And I think this pandemic has given us a bit of a shot into a COVID shot, but also
no pun intended there.
Exactly. I can't help myself, but into the future, you know? And so again, I think it's about figuring out where the priorities are, but I do think we're going to be in a whole new world in the enrollment management space for sure.
And just to get serious for a second, and just a movie reference here, but of course you have the coolest of names, MJ, which, and you're in New York City, which for any Marvel fans out there is of course the girlfriend, Spider-Man's girlfriend.
That's right.
Which is super cool as a Marvel, total Marvel fan. And obviously,
me too.
Dork.
Me too.
And
I'm nerd. A geek.
if you didn't know enough about me at this point, let me just throw it all out there for you. Exactly. Anyway, aside from the point, let's go global. MJ, global recruitment, students in other countries coming to the US, the exchange students and so on. Seems like that's a really tough business these days, not only because if you reach back into the previous administration and some of the restrictions on travel, on undocumented and workers and so on, you just look at the immigration policies and so on, and then you lay coronavirus on the top of that, other countries dealing with COVID still, restrictions coming back for travel, reduced for travel, coming back for travel. It's like, how do you recruit a student? How do you recruit an international student?
Yeah, well, it's crazy. And I will say again, you know, we have 12 campuses across the globe that are where you can study away. And we have two other degree granting campuses, one in Abu Dhabi and one in Shanghai. And, you know, so we're everywhere. I feel like we're everywhere.
Do you at least get to go visit those?
I do.
Would you have gone to visit them?
I do. It's one of the best parts of my job. And I will say, you know, it's always to me about, it's not one thing works all the time, right? And visiting actually makes a huge difference. But when you're a guest in a country, and particularly when we think a quarter of our student population in New York are international, they're from all over the world. And then the two degree, Abu Dhabi and Shanghai, have students there. There's no majority. There's very diverse globally. And so one of the things that you know, I knew it, but I really saw it in this pandemic, was that having campuses and having sites across the globe meant we had people who understood the cultures of those countries and were deeply embedded in the communities out there. And when you're in a crisis, that matters a lot. You can get it virtually, but there's something about living in a space and being in a space that made it easier. And so for us, one of the things we did was something called Go Local for NYU. And that was students who were regionally closer to the campuses that we have out there who couldn't necessarily get to New York or quite frankly to Abu Dhabi or Shanghai were able to study, still try to have a bit of an experience by studying on the campuses closer to home, which helped us bypass some of those issues with travel and with vaccinations and issues of blooms in one area of the world and much more, you know, things looking better in other parts of the world. So it is complicated, but that has helped us a lot in managing a flexible set of options for students so that they could try to take one or two in-person classes, even if they're taking other classes remotely. And it made a huge difference when we were asking students all year long, how is it going? I think they were really grateful that there was so much effort being put into allowing them to try to at least have some semblance of what they thought their, you know, year was going to be like. And so in Shanghai, we had over 3,000 students that were studying there that were supposed to be in New York, but couldn't get here. So pretty, that to me was, you know, sort of proud to be a part of a place that was able to do that. And it was, you know, it's at one point I was listening to Liz talk about how we can be siloed in higher ed. And you probably know this because you worked in it long enough. And when these kinds of things happen and everyone has to work together, the silos have really broken down. And so, you know, that's also a big benefit, I think, because we're trying to deliver to students what they really needed. We work better together.
I want to stop you and take that one, because the silo breaking is really important. And, you know, one of the things that I think is shared critically when those silos break down is data. It's just more information as those silos come down. Yeah. And you know, MJ, you're well versed in this. I think you're coming on what, 7 years now in your role, or 7 years of time at NYU?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm a data wonk. So
there you go. We got this enrollment cliff thing going on. COVID exists, and yeah, it's doing all these crazy things, and students are in and they're out and they're scared and not. It's like, as soon as it's done, we've got this enrollment cliff to worry about. How do you rationalize through that right now? I mean, you know, it's something we have to prepare for. How do you recruit? How do you distill down your value proposition? How do you communicate it? How do you position yourself to be at the front end of that when some colleges aren't going to make?
Yeah. I think, you know, it's funny. My worry is places like NYU are not struggling to get students. We had over 100,000 applications this year. And we know that there are many schools who couldn't even get their application numbers to where they needed them to be. And it's funny, I feel like this is a narrative in our country about what is a valuable education. And
that was going to be my next question. Can I ask it to you?
You can.
Before you go there, because do you have my notes in front of you? MJ, to your point, what is a valuable education? But then secondarily to that is that, as you probably have seen, there's a growing a contingent of folks who are panning the private university, you know, to be too expensive or not worth it. And it's hard to define an ROI, and we need, you know, cheaper, faster, you know, specific skill-based education. It's a growing conversation within higher ed, is that the, you know, quote unquote elite universities, which you would put NYU in that, or at least I would, are not delivering on this ROI. And then when you talk to people at those universities, they can clearly define some of the economics. And so you just wonder, where's this balance of conversation coming from and who's driving it? Right. All of that together, along with the value of a degree. What do you think about all that whole conversation taking place?
Yeah, I mean, I it's so complicated, as you know, but I, you know, I think that the sticker price for higher ed is high, but you and I both know there's a lot of discounting going on. And, but it's who understands that. And I'm not going to completely bash the press, but I do think that a lot of the major newspapers talk about a very, very small number of institutions when they're talking about us at all. And it leaves out, and it gives this impression that that if you went to a liberal arts college in the Midwest or something that isn't getting like NYU, it doesn't have the kind of vast number of students that we have and the kind of footprint we have. that somehow they're lesser. And I think, you know, when I was young in this field, been in it over 30 years, you know, we used to talk about, you look for an institution that's a good fit for you. And now it's an arms race. You want to get into the best institution you can get into. And that has hurt America. I feel like that is hurting. There's a generation now that feels like they're less than, or it's not worth it to go to a gem of a school that could be a great fit. But because all the messages they're getting around them are, it's got to be the best. And we don't, and we're defining it by something that is, you know, admit rates or, you know, this kind of race to, you know, the top. My biggest worry is that the first generation kid can't see through that. You know, I think parents who are very sophisticated get it, and they sort of play that game. They look for where they can get their kids in and maybe look for merit. But a first gen kid who doesn't have a lot of knowledge of this area, I worry a lot about them, that the messages they're getting loud and clear are, it's got to be the best. And, you know, only the Ivies is what they talk about, or we are in that class of elite schools. And I think I'm proud of what we can do, but we're not the only game out there. And when I think about the 100,000 students that applied to NYU last year, I'm hoping to God they all applied to schools that they felt like they had choice and that they could still go on to higher ed. And I think
chances are that that's the case, right? Because I think the average number of schools that a student applied for went up from, you know, 3 to 10
crazy,
or something. You know?
Crazy, yeah. Exactly. But, you know, those are the things I worry about. And I think we struggle a lot to put value on the non-traditional path for students. And I'm a first gen kid, and education, so much of what I look back on are the things I learned in the classroom that still inform some of the crazy things I think about today that weren't ever about enrollment management. You know, it wasn't a skills base. It was a really interesting liberal arts degree that got me a lot of great information that I use every day to inform different things that I have to work on and think about.
Glacier uniquely focuses on informing and inspiring the next generation of college and university students by looking for innovative ways to recruit high school students. They are always looking for new ways to recruit with the best interest of students in mind, something that has been important to Glacier since day one. Glacier offers the largest high school advertising network in North America. This unique platform allows higher education marketers the opportunity to place massive billboard-style ads directly inside feeder high schools, leverage influential students as brand ambassadors, and layer in a robust digital advertising component. Every campaign is custom built for your institutional goals while taking into account Glacier's robust knowledge and expertise in recruiting high school students. This comes from over 8 years of experience, over 1,000 campaigns executed, yearly research papers and quarterly roundtables with high school students. Nobody understands the high school demographic better than Glacier. If you're ready to take your high school recruitment to the next level or want to learn more about how Glacier can help you, visit their website at www.weareglacier.org. By the way, if you've been in this for 30 years, you must have started when you were 3, because you don't look a day over 33 or so, for the record.
Oh, so, you are
so, I mean, what a heck of a leadership position you had when you were 3. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So talk to me about your staff. I mean, you know, you said they're exhausted. Yeah. One thing, you know, if you work in enrollment management and ever have, is that there's never an end. It is a continuous cycle of recruiting forever. It's not like an IT project or something else where there's an end and you move on to a new project. It's a continuous cycle. And, you know, we see people that we talk about this all the time, where it's, who is this enrollment management person? It's not like anybody goes to college and says, I want to be a enrollment management professional when I grow up. Usually it's people that fall into this industry somehow.
Exactly.
And then they find out that it's never ending, and you lose some, and you know, some go, oh God, I can't do this anymore. And some stay and they're there for 20 years because they just love serving students. But what is happening to your staff? How are they reacting to the difficulties? I'll tell you, from my team, one of the things that's the most significant is I feel like they can sometimes sense and feel and personalize the struggles of the student. That before it was like, oh, you know what, this student, we just need to remotivate them. They're wondering whether they want to come to school here. We need to remind them the value proposition. And yeah, they're going to make some excuses. Right. And then now it's like, oh, my dad has coronavirus and he's on his deathbed. And it's like, okay, it's, I don't know if you can remotivate somebody through that. It's just like what it is. And then you turn around and there's frustration and there's, you know, especially if there's a certain individuals that are already on the fence of this job was for them or not. So there's a lot of toll that this last 18 months has taken on enrollment professionals. How's your team and what do they deal with?
You know, I think you're so right. And the workplace is changing. I mean, I just spent last week starting back to work with everyone in a hybrid work environment. And it's tough, you know, because I think there's always a group. They had to, everyone had to shift 18 months ago to being fully remote, which took a ton of work and a lot of effort. And then we had to shift back to, and then they got used to it. And now we do work at a university that serves students. So we need to come back, but we're coming back in a hybrid format. And, you know, so in addition to everything you said, which is seeing and hearing the student more and hearing really difficult stories, staff themselves have lost people, staff is, you know, and they're having to adjust once again to this new kind of era. So yeah, I mean, I think I agree with you 100%. I think I'm seeing a lot of turnover. And then we also were all, I mean, I don't know about you, but we were in a hiring freeze for a large portion of the year, as were everyone else. So you get this for quant people, we know we're of course we see more turnover because you put everything in stasis for a year. So now boom, you've got a bunch of people shifting around and trying to move, but it's at a really tough time of year if you're in admissions or financial aid. So yeah, I mean, I think one of the beauties of what happened is I know my staff better. I don't know about you. I mean, I have a huge staff. I have 300 people, but I know so many of them because Zoom gave me an opportunity to have smaller meetings and to see people. And I think it's the same with the students. We had a lot more time. Like we could be more flexible with our time. And there was a lot more quick one-on-ones with students face-to-face on Zoom. But I think
it's good that there's benefit in there, right? Like you pull out the positives of any difficult
situation. I know, but it's exhausting because we haven't quite figured out the balance yet, right? So I think this is the next 6 to 12 months, we're going to have a lot of conversations like this one where as leaders, we're going to be thinking about how do I find the balance for my team? How do we make sure that we can, you know, meet students where they're at and do the best we can for them and still be there in person too? Because I will say last week, seeing people live is actually pretty cool. 3D people, I like that, you know?
What is a 3D person? I haven't seen one in many, many months.
Oh my God. You just can't, you know, touch or shake hands, but that's okay. You know, but it was fun. And, you know, but finding the balance, I think balance is, you know, we talk a lot about meditating now on my staff because finding your center is hard when there's so much changing around you all the time.
One of the key areas we think about is of enrollment professionals is always forecasting. It's looking into the future. How many students am I going to have? How many do I need later? And, you know, forecasting has been a little fuzzier because of coronavirus over the last 18 months, because people are sometimes making decisions on attendance. If you go back the last 2 years, it could be you thought they were coming and then at the last minute they pulled out because of some kind of risk tolerance, So, you know, forecasting is a little bit more difficult. It's great to be in a situation where you have the ability to fill your classes no matter what, because your applicants are high, but it does on a one-to-one basis, it's hard to forecast because everybody's making sometimes split decisions, if you will. Now you guys are back on ground, right? You're on campus.
We are, and we were last year, you know, we were flexible. You were able to be on campus if you wanted to last year.
What's the risk tolerance right now? You know, you seeing people coming back? Are they still?
No, it's a great question. For one thing, we mandated vaccines. So over 98% of our population's faculty, students, and staff are vaccinated. That's great. So amazing. I can't even believe that.
Statistically, it's pretty incredible.
Can you imagine? Right? Can you imagine? So you couldn't, the safest place in the world is to be at NYU in a classroom. I'm telling you right now.
That's where you go for herd immunity, is just go see NYU and hang out.
Exactly. Getting there is another story. I have no idea, but certainly being there. You know, I think the students made it loud and clear that they wanted to be in person. You know, that was, I think that they were, you know, there was a worry. And of course, I think they wanted to be in New York, let me put it that way, or in Abu Dhabi and Shanghai. And that would have been their preference, even if their classes were all remote.
Honestly, it's not like they're picking from terrible places. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Want to be in all those places too.
I know. Cry me a river, right? And many did. But, you know, I think the tolerance now, I think that what we saw was that there was a strong emphasis from the students and from the faculty and staff who were on campus last year, follow the rules. You know, you got to follow the rules if we need to keep each other safe. And that was like our big mantra was number one rule was we have to keep each other healthy and safe. And I think there's sort of been trust built over the last 18 months. So to the point of tolerance, I think people feel it's never easy, but they do feel like they can trust that everyone is there to try to keep each other safe. There hasn't been a lot of, and that, you know, it's funny, I think in recruitment, because people choose campuses for whatever reasons, there's a match. And I think for us,
it's a feeling almost. Yeah,
exactly. And even with following the science of this and doing the right thing for health protocols, we sort of followed it. And our president is a biochemist. So he's always good at saying, and let's just talk about the science of this, you know? But, you know, we're extra careful too. I mean, everyone is vaccinated, but you also have to wear a mask all day long. And, you know, we're trying to address that with staff as well and students, because that's not always easy, especially if you're working all day in an office.
Yeah, if you're talking all day or having to talk too, it can become difficult. You know, but it's like first world problems, kind of, you know, the fact that we're in person vaccinated and we have to wear a mask, it's not the greatest problem that we've had to overcome as a human beings ever. Right?
Yeah, no, exactly.
Like hunger or homelessness kind of beats those.
Exactly. And then you were asking a little bit about modeling. And I think, you know, I think one of the things about modeling this year that you didn't mention, but I will, is that many of us had been, had required a standardized test and we were SAT optional. So talk about throwing the model out the window, because you had COVID, you had that, you had so many changes. And you know, when I talked to my colleagues out there, that was the thing where I think the community was pretty strong in trying to, you know, not share too much, but there was anxiety about, will my models work? Will I be over-enrolled? Will I be under-enrolled? And what will happen? And, you know, for us, we didn't have the melt we normally have. So it's what you saw was sort of, I tend to build classes planning to go to my wait list. And I didn't have to, because we nailed it because there was no melt.
Right.
So for us, that was how we experienced the model this year, and predicting was, I'd love to say that I knew that was going to happen.
Well, this is your chance to do that, MJ.
Right. I'm a conservative, you know, enrollment manager. So I always hedge a little bit when we come to that last group that we admit. So it worked in my favor.
The testing, do you think the testing just nationwide, do you think that created a lot of smoke and mirror? Because, you know, you just had students that go, oh, I could never get an NYU before. I'm going to just submit my application. Now you've got, you know, 40% increase, 50% increase in the apps, but you really have a less qualified pool of student. I mean, does that create a lot of problems internally for you guys in terms of sifting through who you're going to accept?
Yeah, well,
or did you just have more great students?
We had a lot of great students, but yeah, well, it was... Right. So it's interesting because, you know, we get a lot of applications, but we also try to do a holistic review of all of them. Right. So we have a lot of readers we hire, and we do this whole process and we had spent last summer knowing that this was going to happen, you know, rejiggering the models, reworking them so that we were using your curricular. You know, we were leaning more into what was the curriculum, what was the grade, you know, distribution across the 4 years.
I'd like to also interrupt you and say rejiggering is a technical enrollment management.
Right, right.
Amongst is an inside term, but.
Yes, thank you. but yeah, so I will say that I was very nervous going into it because we had tested it on previous classes to see how it would play out and how it could predict yield. But without a standardized test at all, we'd always been flexible on standardized tests, but this was new. It was definitely harder to know if we were making the right assumptions as we were admitting, and we don't roll through our admissions, which is, I think, a lot easier, but, you have one shot in regular decision. And, I think it was a little bit, at that point when we were dropping those decisions, you know, you just had to hope to God that everything that you had built into that model and every assumption you were making about how you manage that last group of decisions was going to be play out in the yield model. Right, yeah. You have no history to be able to say, yeah, this is absolutely going to happen the way we think it will. And anyone who models knows that, you know, you without history, you put so many variables in and you really do cause yourself to, I mean, I think people, every enrollment manager who made their class or any enrollment manager who didn't make their class out there, you got to pass this year because it was such a crazy year.
It's impossible to predict how a pandemic affects choice, affects everything. And so predictive modeling was like, okay, it's really the first shot I have at predicting anything because last year there was no pandemic. This year there is.
And it affects
47 different areas that I can't put into this model. It's totally, you're right. It is that free pass year. And then it's, you know, and you predict 2021, 2022, and then right. You know, who thought about variance last year? I didn't put any variables into my model. Did you?
Oh, I don't. Yeah, no. And one of the things we had done though, we had asked students and prospective students what mattered to them over the year. And so we had some intel that our mask mandates, all the protocols we had for health were actually the number one important thing. So we had asked. So it, as far as also informing the university, because I'm sure you sit at senior tables about what are we doing for the coming year, we knew that it was going to matter to students, for our students. It may not be for others, but you know, because I think about other institutions who had very different kinds of protocols, and I think made their classes fine because whoever their population is wasn't as maybe as important than ours. But for ours, it was one of the, besides the education, which we, you know, hope that was one of the number one, but how we were managing and what we were, how we were communicating our safety was a big, was number one. It was number one for students.
It's true too, because if you look at state by state politics, you look state by state mandates and you look by what was important for states during coronavirus, everything was different. You look like New York City, obviously, where right. It went huge spikes and then came down faster than most every other state. Yeah. And you're around a lot of people all the time. Health is going to be the top concern. It's funny. My family, my mother lives in Syracuse, New York, not too far away from New York City, but it was like coronavirus hit for just a couple of months and it was gone because it's just less populated and, yeah. You know, in the same state, but less concern about overpopulation and so on. And right. So even regionally, it makes a big difference on what students are after and what they want. And if you listen closely, you can pull through some of that noise and create relatively stable predictions, right?
Right, right. And that's, I think, for us, it was key. We do a lot of asking. We are always trying to listen. And I think the virus, I mean, we were actually down in inquiries a year ago, July, and we were watching. And the team we went into all out, okay, what is going on here? Why is this happening? And that's when the surveys started to go out because we wanted to understand better what students wanted to hear from us. And that's how we sort of approached getting that information and that intel really helped us approach the recruitment season. It was amazing because I think you have to be able to pivot like that and ask because you're in the dark.
Absolutely. For the most part. All right. Well, I've got three last, I should have asked you this question at the front end, but I'm going to ask you now. MJ, this is we call this the most official of questions. It's the most important one you're going to answer today.
Okay.
All right. You walk into a room and music, a song, any song is playing over the loudspeaker. It's your entrance music. It plays every time you walk in the room. What is that song that's playing?
Oh my God. That is a horrible question for me. I am so ridiculous about music. Oh my God, what is going to play for me?
This is, I keep my guests on my toes with this question. They go, oh, I'm ready to answer anything. It's like, oh no, I can't think of anyone.
I know. I'm afraid to say it because I think that it's going to be
do it.
I'll just tell my colleagues never to listen to this. I don't know. You know, I'm a big ABBA fan, so you know, maybe we can
Did you say ABBA?
I'm an ABBA fan.
Wow.
I am old. I am old, Joe, and so
no, I know ABBA. Come on now. I will challenge the enrollment and student success teams at NYU to make sure that every time MJ enters a room, ABBA is playing.
That's right.
Pick a song, any song, guys. Any song.
And I can moonwalk. So, you know.
Oh my gosh. I need this on video.
If you wanted to.
I'm going to have hopefully when we release your episode, instead of the little graphic that we do, we could have you moonwalking.
There you go.
We'll talk after the show. All right, MJ, last two questions for you. Number one, what did we miss about NYU? Anything you want to say about what's going on? Anything you wanted to talk about today that I didn't ask you, plug away. And then number two, what do you see as the future of higher education?
Yeah. All right. Two big ones. All right. NYU, very quickly. I think the diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging conversation is on steroids at NYU because we're global and because we're very diverse. And I think it adds a lot to what is the innovative spirit of the institution. And so I didn't get to talk a lot about that, but I feel proud to be a part of creating that in the student body. We're 29% underrepresented. We have 24% international. We have this global footprint and we embrace it. And it's so much fun to be at a place like this because it's a challenge, but I think it also brings a ton of innovation.
And very important work.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I learn every day. And you have to be humble, boy, when you do that work. And the other is, you know, I think so on NYU, I think that's the piece that we didn't really get into, but I think it's important. And what was your second one?
Well, just the easy one. What do you think is the future of higher education?
Oh, well, it's that. I think it is just that. I think, you know, we always say to meet your students where they're at. And that's part of the, you know, you chose them to be at the institution. And now you've got to figure out how you bring value to their lives. And I think higher education must be thinking about that, not just what happens in the classroom, but the total experience a student goes through and what are your expectations for how you expect from technology to data to the way that students interface with each other and the people around them. That calculus, not just the individuals, but the way that they traverse the world and way you and I traverse the world with technology now, higher ed has to be in that space and has to be thinking in that space. And hopefully the pandemic gave us a bit of a kick in the pants to do that more. And using AI, not in a bad way, but in a way to understand and tell our story better. And get students the help and support and the accolades that they deserve.
MJ, you make me laugh because I always say my guests title the episodes for me, and you gave me two great ones, kick in the pants and rejiggering. And I feel like I just got to reconnect those to, you know, how to get a kick in the, how to give everybody a kick in the pants, you know, yeah. Guest MJ Nolfin, you know, I'm feeling synergy here.
I love it. I love it.
thank you for coming on, MJ. We could do this all day, I'm sure.
Because
we both like to talk, that I can tell you. We will circle back around with you. I have a couple of ideas I'm going to talk to you about as soon as the show is over.
Awesome.
And ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of another episode of the MJ Nolfin. this has been another episode of the EdUp Experience with Senior Vice President. And what's your whole title, MJ? Senior Vice President for Enrollment Management.
Enrollment Management and Student Success.
Student Success at New York University. I'm going to just say that this has been a long day for me. So I'm getting a little tongue-tied, but that's the way it goes here at the EdUp Experience. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been EdUpped. Glacier uniquely focuses on informing and inspiring the next generation of college and university students by looking for innovative ways to recruit high school students. They are always looking for new ways to recruit with the best interest of students in mind, something that has been important to Glacier since day one. Glacier offers the largest high school advertising network in North America. This unique platform allows higher education marketers the opportunity to place massive billboard-style ads directly inside feeder high schools, leverage influential students as brand ambassadors, and layer in a robust digital advertising component. If you are ready to take your high school recruitment to the next level or want to learn more about how Glacier can help you, visit their website at www.weareglacier.org.